So I used to be a Boy Scout back in the day, and my current disposition is suiting this this really well. Boy Scouts salute with the right hand and shake with the left, and so for the last couple of weeks, that's all I've been doing is shaking with my left hand. Not sure what Baden Powell was thinking, but yeah, I didn't Google that, but it's interesting. But I remember at Scouts, we used to play this game. It was a game of making decisions. We'd have a list of items that you might need in a survival scenario, and you were only allowed to choose a certain number. It went something like this. You've been stranded somewhere. Here is a long list of possible items. You may take only 10. Which 10 do you choose, and in what order of importance? And of course, in a scenario like that, you start to think, what is the most important thing here? How will I carry everything? Is it waterproof? What's nice to have? Is the bar of chocolate really that important? And then what do you leave out? You know, with a whole list of things that are very important, decisions can be quite difficult sometimes. And sometimes it's not about what's important including, but what do we leave behind? Those are some of the difficult decisions. And sometimes in life, it works in a similar fashion. We have to make decisions, and we have things that we've got to decide between. And I've been talking about discipleship and the kingdom of God. And this morning I'd like to share a little bit more about that and kingdom priorities. The scripture this morning is Matthew 6, verse 19 to 34. And there's a number of different things here. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached. So Matthew 16, 19. Treasures in heaven. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and when thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothed the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That last line is so very true. Each day has enough trouble of its own. But Jesus is looking at a number of different things in this part of the Sermon on the Mount. He's looking at treasures, he's looking at our hearts, he's looking at worry, he's looking at trust, and he's looking at kingdom priorities. So what about treasure then? What is my treasure? Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Treasures on earth is something that we do. We do store them up. We're enticed. I wrote, coerced, and encouraged, but the world wants us to store up stuff. There's something new, there's something better, there's something more sparkly, there's something, yeah, all the time we're trying to be steered in a direction where we should get more stuff. The world is constantly telling us that we should get stuff. And Jesus is saying, the real issue here is you can't serve two masters. You can't serve both God and money. Thinking about my Boy Scout list at the beginning, so far the list has got two items, God and money, and one of them needs to take first place and one second. So far, it's easy sermon, isn't it? Okay. But then he says, these treasures are closely linked to our hearts. And I think that's where it gets a little bit more challenging. So what has my heart? What is the thing that's got my heart? Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Our hearts follow our treasures. Our hearts are dominated by our treasures. If you had to say to somebody, what are your priorities? People would say, this is what's important to me. But if you took somebody's bank account, you would start to get a bit of a picture what priorities are important to a person. It's not the whole picture, but it would help identify where some priorities lie. We do have strong warnings about the kingdom and the priority of money. In Timothy, we read, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Sometimes we say the love of money is the root of evil, but here, if we read it correctly, all kinds of evil. So money can draw us in all different directions when it comes to evil stuff. And we also have to remember that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So we might ask, what do we own? What is the stuff that's got our hearts? And then we could also look at our calendars if we wanted to say, well, what are my priorities? What am I desperate about? Or where do I spend my time? I know where I spend my money. Where do I spend my time? Because that's about a priority as well. God wants us to spend time with Him. The kingdom question could be, what has God entrusted to me and how does He want me to use it? Instead of saying, what can I get? We might be saying, what can I give? How much can I keep could be replaced with, how can what God has given me serve His purposes? So the kingdom question, what does my calendar and my bank statement say I treasure? The next thing Jesus looks at is trust. Who is really my provider? And He gives these pictures of the birds and the plants. In Matthew 6, He says, they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, this is the birds, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And then the flowers, see how the flowers of the fields grow? They do not labor or spin. And then the important line in that scripture, are you not much more valuable than they? You're more valuable than a flower in a field. You're more valuable than a bird that is finely feathered. Ultimately, the question is, where do I put my trust? Who am I trusting? I grew up in Kempton Park. We were those people that landed up in Margate and Ramsgate called the Valleys once a year. And we would travel down from Johannesburg to Durban in my dad's Ford Cortina station wagon. We would sit right in the very back on a mattress, no car seats, no seat belts. Ooh, we were stupid. Anyway, we'd come on holiday once a year, and we would do this massive trip. It was a real excursion. So many stories. But the point is, I never, as a child, said, "Hey, Dad, what route are we taking? Where are we going to stop for petrol? Is there going to be enough food? Are we going to make it?" I sometimes didn't even know where we were staying, because my parents had taken care of all of that. My dad was driving. I trusted him. And so I was happy to be in the back of the car and let him take me to the destination for the holiday. I trusted him. I trusted he'd have enough petrol, that my mom would have enough food. She was good at that, as moms can be, hey? But I trusted them. I trusted my father. And sometimes our life is like that. We worry. And we shouldn't have to. We shouldn't have to worry about these kinds of things, because our Heavenly Father has got the steering wheels. We're trying to get the steering wheel out of His hands sometimes. But He's got it. He knows where He's going. He knows how we're going to get there. He knows what we need along the way. He's got it. So we should really trust in the person who's driving. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now just kind of put that as against the picture of the car, okay, for a moment, because it helps a bit to get some context. That's what it's saying. Trust somebody else to be in the driver's seat, and that person is Almighty God. Am I trusting the king, or am I trying to control everything myself? And if we're honest, sometimes we need to trust God with a little bit more. The next thing that Jesus speaks about, after he's spoken about trust in our hearts, he speaks about this thing called worry. What has become bigger than God? Matthew 6, 25 to 32 says, "Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?" I'm glad that everybody did give some thought to what they wore this morning. But we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about those things. Jesus isn't saying there's nothing to worry about. He knows that our lives have things that can cause worry. But rather he's saying, don't. Don't worry. Picture for a moment a backpack. I've got a picture of one, so you can, it'll help you maybe picture it. And all of those things that we worry about are pebbles or rocks. Maybe we worry about money, family, health, the future, what people think of me, something I cannot control. And we put those things into this bag and we lug it around with us wherever we go. And it's heavy and it's uncomfortable and we add rocks to it, even though it's heavy and uncomfortable and pretty full for some people. And you know, God doesn't want us to have a rock full of bags that we lug around. That's why he's saying, do not worry. He's saying, give. Did I say something funny now? I have to look at the live stream to pick up on that joke. Wow, they just... But I hope you get the point here. Don't get stuck on the joke that was not meant to be. Oh, dear. Okay, come, folks. Come, please. Oh, dear. But we do. We have these things that we carry around. And Peter says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Instead of carrying, we need to cast. We need to do that in our lives. The kingdom question, what am I carrying today that I need to put into the hands of the Father? What does God need to take from us? The whole bag, of course, is the most ideal thing for us, but maybe we need to give him some things slowly as we try not to worry about stuff. And then the important verse in this whole bit of scripture is about kingdom priorities or kingdom DNA. What does this look like here? What comes first? In Matthew 6, verse 33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Remember that scout list? He's saying, item number one must always be my kingdom and my righteousness. Everything else can come, and he's not saying there is only one thing. Because sometimes we read this and we think, seek first, oh, that's all I must seek. No, no, seek that first, and then everything else finds its order correctly. And honestly, sometimes I feel so overwhelmed with what I need to get done in a week that I sometimes don't read my Bible first thing. Foolishly thinking that if I get all this other stuff out of the way, I'll get to my quiet time. And I use the word foolishly on purpose because it never happens. But you know, when I'm super busy and I spend the time reading my Bible, somehow I have time for everything else. And I've just got to say, why don't I learn from this experience? So this morning, everybody was freaking out because guess what? I read my Bible first and only got here very late to do a mic check, and they were messaging me, when are you coming to church to do the mic check, Brian? And the church was filling up. The mic check worked out, and I still did what I was meant to do, seek first his kingdom. Okay, so don't eventually seek it, or when everything else is sorted out, seek it. Seek it first. Try and put God first, not only in that first thing in the morning, but in our lives, in things we do, in decisions we make, places we go. Seek first his kingdom. So there's different things that we can look at in a practical way where we need to seek God first. Maybe our calendar, we need to seek God first. Somebody said that when you work out your year ahead, you should always put your leave in first. Or maybe we should just say, seek God first. maybe in our week, we should say, well, what is my week going to look like if I put God in some of these places in my calendar first? Do I make time for God? Do I make time for prayer? Do I make time for Bible reading, community with Christians? Do I make time to serve? Do I make time for people who might need me this week? Don't give the leftovers to God. Then the finances, and I'm always tempted when I speak about finances to send the offering bags around a second time. We'll just see how this section goes, okay? If there's lots of nods and amens, then oof, they're coming out for sure. But it's an uncomfortable thing. But the scripture is quite clear here. We're dominated, we're overwhelmed by the worry about money or by the need for money. And it's clear that it's not the right thing for us. But we get hooked up, we get caught up. So we should ask, does my money serve my kingdom or God's kingdom? That's a good question. And then my decisions, things that I do, what does God want me to do? What are the things that I do that God is saying, no, rather do this? As we come close to the Holy Spirit, we hear His voice clearer and clearer, and we know more clearly what it is that He wants us to do. Rather than saying, what am I allowed to do? We should be asking, what honors Almighty God? What does He want me to do? We have a Behringer X32 at the back there that Claire is operating. It looks like this. And it has got like many sliders and knobs and lights, scales, outputs, a screen. When things go wrong here, Claire knows something's wrong. More lights start flashing, or they don't flash at all. It's always different. It's always a surprise. It's never the same thing. But they're warning. Sometimes they're warning lights. Those little, you can't see them very well on that picture. But yeah, there's warning lights. If I speak too loudly, there's a thing that goes like right up into the red. And but sometimes that's what our lives look like. We have warning lights, you know, like that sound desk. And God's trying to tell us, don't worry about this. Don't worry about that. Seek first my kingdom. There's one button that's super important on that desk. It's called main. It's got a mute button. If you push that, everything goes quiet. Or if you pull it, she's doing this. She's so funny. Or if you pull that slider down, whoop, I slowly fade away. Whew. But that's seeking God first. He's got control of all of this, and He's got His hand on that main control. We don't have to worry about this. The joke on the internet that I quite like says, my brain is like an internet browser. There are 17 tabs open, 5 of them are frozen, and I have no idea where the music is coming from. And I think that's sometimes what we're like when we don't put God first. Our lives can be like that, just whew, overwhelming. When Jesus is king, He doesn't vaguely interact with us, but He wants to have control of our whole lives. He wants to be first, and He wants to have everything. Maybe today is about a kingdom reordering in your life. 4 questions you might want to ask when you think about your treasure. What do I value? When you think about trust, who do I depend on? When you think about worry, what am I carrying? And you think about priorities, who gets first place? Remember, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. Last week I said, how did I grow closer to Jesus? Is a question we could ask after my sermon, but all through the week, every day, how am I growing closer? And this is another question we can ask again, but specifically looking at the different areas of our lives, maybe our calendar, our finances, and our decisions. Are we growing closer to Jesus? Do our lives reflect Him more and more? Does the way I live demonstrate that I'm seeking first the kingdom of God? He isn't asking for a place in our lives. He wants to be king of our whole lives. When king is first, everything else falls into place nicely. And when we discover that He might not be first, He doesn't come with condemnation. He comes with an invitation. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the sermon that you preached and that we can look at again this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust you, that you give us the desires of our heart, that we don't need a lot of stuff, but that you care for us, that you love us. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one who says we don't have to worry. And thank you, Lord, that we can share all of those burdens with you. And help us, Lord. Help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And then show us clearly, Lord, as we do that, how you are able to undertake to put everything else into its rightful place in our lives. Help us now, we pray, in your mighty name. Amen.